Join our hearts together in prayer before we hear the word this morning. Gracious God, we give you thanks that when we hear the wonder of your word, you are there to cheer us on. You're there to open our hearts and our minds to the things you're doing among us. Lord, we were raised to praise you in special ways through all the seasons of our life. We thank you that you gather us in this morning from different places and choose to meet us where we're at. So open our hearts and our minds to the things that you have to say to each one of us, as we ask all of this and so much more, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Before I share with you from the Gospel of John, I'm just curious, how many people have seen the new show that's out, Undercover Boss? Okay, so there's a couple. So I'll give you a little background on it first, before I share with you a story from it. It came out a few weeks ago on NBC. It's a job where folks step out in big corporations. Corporations are too big for the CEOs to even know who the people that are working on the front lines really are. Or for the people working on the front lines to really recognize who their CEO really is. And they travel around the country and they examine and wander and make their way through different parts of the organization to see how things happen, to see how the business operates. To get a better picture of what's going on and to learn how to be better leaders. This past week, Bill Carstenagen, who was the chief operating officer from Churchill Downs, stepped out from behind his desk. He stepped out from behind his suit that he normally wears. And he stepped out into all kinds of different parts of the world, of the business undercover as a man named Billy Johns. He wants to get to know the bigger picture. He wants to see how things are working out there. It's a business that is steeped in tradition. And it's also a business that's faced with everyday challenges on the front lines of how to engage the public, how to engage the world, how to invite them to come and experience entertainment in a different way. From his own lips, he wants to get out there and to know what the unvarnished truth really is. What it's like for those people that are there. He's always kept very strict boundaries between personal life, personal business, and work and business life. But yet he finds along the way that maybe he hasn't always had it right. As I was watching this show the last couple of weeks, and especially this episode, I couldn't help but think of the contrast. You know, we have these reasons of why these CEOs are stepping out to see what's happening in their companies. But the contrast between that and why God steps out of heaven in the form of Jesus Christ to move among us. Because Jesus doesn't come out to see what's going on. He doesn't come to see how it's all unfolding. He doesn't come to find out what the unvarnished truth is really like. He comes to reveal the unvarnished truth. He comes to make the truth of God's love known in many real ways to many real people who are going through many different real situations in their life. And we see that all through his journey here on earth. These CEOs step out. They want to know what stands between management and the world's working in the field. And they try to do so by working alongside of people who normally wouldn't even feel comfortable if these CEOs offered to do that. But Jesus steps out not to see what separates people from God, but Jesus steps out to remove what separates people from God. And he knows that that's something a little bit different in each and every person. And therefore, he reaches out in a different way to each and every person. He doesn't perform the same miracle twice. Even when he's healing many people that are blind, he does it in a different way each time. Sometimes by touching, sometimes by speaking, sometimes by reaching down and making mud and putting it in their eyes. For those who are deaf, sometimes he speaks to them and all of a sudden they can hear. Sometimes he puts his fingers in their ears and suddenly whatever's there is gone and they can hear. The miracles happen a different way every time. So Jesus steps out to remove those things that separate those of us in the midst of life from the God who created us. and the God who wants to be in a relationship with us in a very real way through all the seasons of our life that we just sang about. Today, of course, we continue our journey towards Holy Week, towards the celebration, towards the, you know, certainly the most action-packed week of Jesus' life. A time where He goes through so many emotions and so many trials and tribulations. And we find Him here in John chapter 12. He arrives at Bethany. He's in this small village where Mary and Martha and Lazarus live. He's raised Lazarus from the dead. And His word is, and the word has really got things, and this has really got things stirred up as the word of it spreads around. Bethany is a town that sits on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. It's about 2 miles east of Jerusalem. And from up in Bethany, looking down on Jerusalem, he can see the entire city. He can see all the walls of the temple. He can see all the places where the scenes of his life are going to be lived out in the week that lies ahead. Jesus knows the cross is coming. He knows His death is just around the corner. He's talking to the disciples about it. He's telling people about it. He's sharing with them the things that are really on His heart, that are really important in life. You know, Bill Carstenagin, when he stepped out, he found out that the most important things in life start with talking and caring. Jesus knew that. He was making that known in real ways. And so he has another conversation about that here in John chapter 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet. And then she wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the wage and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to money, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came. Not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. And so the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. And so may God just continue to pour out his blessing on his word, not only in the reading and the hearing, but in its coming alive in our lives here and now. What an incredible picture. Jesus shows up in this house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And here is as Martha serves the table, as she gets ready to put everything out before them, we find Lazarus reclining at the table with everybody else. This same Lazarus who had been wrapped up in burial cloths, left in a tomb with a stone steel in front of it sealing it, was reclining at a table with Jesus and with the rest of his friends and family. What a difference the resurrection can make in a person's life. Mary suddenly takes a pint of this nard, this precious oil from a plant by the same name that's been made into perfume, and she pours it out on Jesus' feet. It was common. It was an act of hospitality when you came into somebody's house in this time and in this place. It was an act of hospitality to wash their feet. You know, they lived in a time where if you were rich, you might have a pair of sandals on. And if you weren't rich, you probably were walking around barefooted. And so your guests had probably traveled from a long ways away. Their feet were dusty. They were dirty. They were sore. They were tired. And so they would wash their feet as a way to refresh them for the visit so they could enjoy their time and enjoy the reason that they'd come. It really was a great expression of hospitality and of love and concern and compassion for somebody that you cared about. It was usually done with water, though. It normally wasn't done with perfume that would cost the average laborer a year's pay. So you can imagine the confusion by those that are at the table. But Judas is the one that really speaks out here. He's upset. Why are you wasting this stuff? This stuff is worth a lot of money. We could sell that, take all the money, and then we could give it to the poor when we get to the Passover feast, because that's what they did when they came to Jerusalem to worship. They kind of poured out their money. They poured out an offering to those that were in need. And Judas knew that Jesus loved the poor. He'd been spending all his time the last 3 years watching Him take care of the poor. So obviously He cared about them. But Jesus knew what was in Judas's heart. He knew that his motives were once again mixed up. And He knew that the motives of all of those that were gathering there really were kind of mixed up. They didn't get what was going on. He says, they don't understand. What she's doing is a wonderful thing. Mary is pouring out this perfume that was saved for my burial. It was saved to anoint me when I died and was laid in the grave, so I wouldn't smell. They anointed the bodies for those reasons. But Mary steps out in this incredible act of faith that nobody gets, and she pours out the oil on His feet right here and now. She's expressing how she feels about Jesus. She takes the time to tell Him how she's feeling. I wonder what we can learn from that. I can't tell you how many times in the last 10 years I've sat down in kitchen tables, living rooms, or office chairs with someone who's lost a loved one, with a parent who says, you know, I wish I'd taken the time to tell little Johnny how I felt and how proud I really was of him. I wish I'd taken the time to tell my mom how much I really cared and how much it meant to me when she sent a birthday card every year. I wish I'd taken the time to tell my brother that I really appreciated all the times he came over to help with a different project. The list goes on and on and on. And I'm sure that you've heard those same things in different ways in your own life. And if you're anything like me, you've probably said them before as well. Because death, changing seasons in life, they're unexpected. And so John lifts up, as Jesus recognized the importance of expressing how we feel. Mary's pouring out this expensive nard, this expensive perfume, but Jesus is about to pour out His life. He's about to pour out His very blood. Not just for Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Not just for the disciples, but for all of us. To remove the sin and all the things that separate us from God. When was the last time you sat down and told Jesus what was really on your heart? How you really felt towards the things that God has done in your life? God's love is made known to us in many ways. We talk about it. We sing about it. We learn about it in church. But Jesus says it's important to express it too. Because that's what a relationship is all about. And for each one, you know, we talk about being children of God. For each one of us, that expression will be different. You know, my children have always expressed things differently to me. You know, Will is just in a quiet hug when you least expect it. My daughter Allie, it might be in a little poem that she put together somewhere. When they were little, they were often in pictures or in other little things that were wrapped up in a box she didn't expect. The same way each one of us will express our love for God and our love for others in different ways. You know, Easter is quickly approaching. It's almost here. But it's not just another religious holiday set aside to remember a story that took place 2,000 years ago. It's a time to really think about how God has been in and is now at work in our lives, and to find a way to express that in line with who we are in the season of our life. So as we journey into the week that lies ahead, I pray that it's filled with opportunities for each and every one of us to not only see the new things that God is doing in our lives, but to find new ways to express how we feel about that. And I know that's not easy to do. It wasn't only difficult for those in the Middle East to do that 2,000 years ago. It's something we really struggle with here in the Northeast. Here in New England, we don't always talk about our feelings with one another. It doesn't necessarily come natural to us, does it? But that doesn't mean it's biblical. That doesn't mean it's Christian. It doesn't mean that it's not. That doesn't mean it's healthy. God calls us to take the time. Take the time, because life is a precious gift, to express those things that are on our hearts. Not only in prayer, but to one another. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord, we give you thanks that your love never ends. We give you thanks for the unexpected ways that you meet us in life. We thank you, Lord, that even though we don't know what tomorrow holds, we know that you're big enough to hold tomorrow. Lord, forgive us for the times that we haven't taken to express our love towards you and to express our love towards others. We pray that in the week that lies ahead, you remove those things that get in the way of us doing that. We pray that you remove the blinders that keep us from seeing the new things that you're doing each and every day of our lives. We pray that you take the chains from our jaws that keep us from speaking those things out. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you stepped out into this world that we live in, not to hear and see the unvarnished truth, but to make the unvarnished truth of your love known to us. And Lord, we look forward to the ways you continue to do that, as we ask these things and so much more in your mighty and never-ending name. Amen.